This is a public radio town hall meeting, Prop 4, Taxes and the Personal Income Tax Question, a live statewide call-in news program. I'm David Martin Davies, host of The Source on Texas Public Radio. Today, early voting began in Texas for 10 proposed changes to the Texas Constitution. We're going to focus on Proposition 4, which would outright prohibit a personal income tax in the state. Early voting will last until November the 1st. Election day is November the 5th. Texas is one of 9 states in the union without an income tax. There is no serious effort afoot today to change that. So then why did a supermajority of lawmakers and Governor Greg Abbott decide that this question was so badly needed? And what are the implications if it is passed or if it's rejected? I spoke with Texas State Representative Jeff Leach about Prop 4. The Allen Republicans sponsored the bill in the State House.
Proposition 4 is very clear, very straightforward. This is a constitutional amendment which will protect the paychecks of hardworking Texans. In essence, what it will do is amend the Texas Constitution to make it incredibly difficult, if not nearly impossible, for the legislature now or in the future to impose a personal income tax on hardworking Texans. The Texas economy is strong and robust and growing because we trust Texans to spend and save and steward their money better than any politician in Austin could do, and that's really what Prop 4 is all about.
Give me a little bit of detail on how Proposition 4 would make it virtually impossible, if it's passed, to have a state income tax.
So there's actually a lot of misinformation about this, and let me take this opportunity to set the record straight. A lot of Texans believe, and in fact, when we debated this on the Texas House floor, a lot of legislators even thought, mistakenly, that that an income tax is currently banned under existing law under the Texas Constitution, and that's not the case. Under current law right now, all it takes for the legislature to impose an income tax on Texans is a simple majority vote of legislators in the House and Senate, the governor's signature, and then a majority vote in a statewide referendum, the people of Texas. What this will do, it will amend the Constitution to prohibit a personal income tax. And so if and when Proposition 4 passes, in order for there to ever be an income tax now or in the future, Texans would have to re-amend the Texas Constitution to allow for it. That will require a two-thirds vote in the House and the Senate, and then a majority of Texans in a statewide referendum.
So in 1993, we had another statewide proposition that Texans voted for, and we passed, and that called for, if we were ever going to have a state income tax, then we would have that referendum. That seemed like it would make it pretty hard to have a state income tax.
Look, it is hard for there to have a state income tax under current law, and that's one of the reasons that we don't have it, and that's a good thing. Current law is strong, but I believe that we can make it stronger, and I was proud to lead the bipartisan charge in the House and the Senate. Republicans and Democrats came together. We delivered over two-thirds majorities in the House and the Senate to put this before the people of Texas, and so we just believe that, yeah, sure, current law is strong. That 1993 Bullock Amendment is a good amendment, but we have this opportunity here this November to make it even stronger.
Well, there might be people in Texas who don't want to have a state income tax now, but they say, who knows what the future holds, and maybe it's not that smart to have such a locked box for a state income tax, because we don't know what the future holds.
You're right. We don't know what the future holds, which is why Texans in the future could, if they want to consider a state income tax, could, if this proposition passes, they could vote to re-amend the state constitution to allow for one. We've amended the state constitution many, many times over the years. In fact, this November alone, we have 10 constitutional amendments going before the people of Texas. And so if a future legislature can get two-thirds in the House and the Senate to adopt a state income tax and put that before the voters, then they can re-amend the constitution to do so. But that is not what is before the voters this November.
Representative Jeff Leach is a Republican from Allen. He sponsored the Prop 4 bill in the State House. State Senator Pat Fallon was his counterpart in the Senate.
Well, you know, I have to be very candid and honest. I thought I was under the mistaken impression, as were many Texans, that our Constitution actually forbade a state income tax. And when I found out approximately about a year ago, before session started, that not only did it not prevent one from being implemented, but there was actually a provision that was added into the Texas Constitution in 1993 by Bob Bullock, who was then the lieutenant governor, that lowered the threshold. And all it would require to have a state income tax in the state was the House chamber with a simple majority vote and the Senate chamber with a simple majority vote, and then they could kick it to the people, and if it was approved, we'd have a state income tax. And I thought, well, if we were going to ever implement one, it would be take a constitutional amendment, which would take two-thirds of both chambers.
You think that having that process of having a simple majority in a referendum in Texas, that's too easy to accomplish?
Yes, I would have liked it. I would have, if had I been not in college in 1993, but in the legislature, I would have voted against that provision, because if you're going to implement, in my humble opinion, something like a state income tax that's going to seismically change the direction that Texas will go in, that it should be a constitutional amendment and should have that higher threshold, which it will now if Prop 4 passes, of two-thirds of both chambers. And quite frankly, ironically, we had to do that high threshold to get it on the ballot in November. And obviously we were able to do that, but by the skin of our teeth.
What happens if yes has the majority?
Thank you for that question, because there's been a lot of misinformation, not shockingly, not to anybody's surprise, on the internet, saying a bunch of various things that were just completely inaccurate and false. We do not have a state income tax now. Whether or not Prop 4 passes or fails, we still, at least for now, will not have an income tax. If Prop 4 passes, it will make it much more difficult in the future, most likely impossible in our lifetimes, to have a state income tax here in the state.
As you said, there was a lot of sort of whacked out information online about what that means if the no vote wins. That does not put in an income tax in Texas.
Correct. Yeah, I read all that, David, and it was kind of bizarre. I don't know where folks got that information from. And again, I probably read 50 different pieces that were just false. So no, that does, there's no tax man's gonna, or a woman's going to be coming for you if it fails.
So tell me real quickly, why do you think it's a good idea, Texas, not to have or ever to have an income tax?
That's a great question as well. Thank you. You know, it's very important for us to signal to the business community, not only the folks that are already here in Texas, but across the state or across this country and for that matter, the world, that Texas is going to be committed to a business-friendly environment, low taxes, limited government, reasonable regulation. And you can see it really in the proofs in the pudding with the Texas miracle and how well we're doing with our economy, that we're not losing net jobs to California or to Illinois or New York or New Jersey. They are all losing net jobs to Texas, because it is a place where folks come to work and invest over the long haul. Toyota just recently relocated to Texas, bringing 4,000 or 5,000 direct well-paying jobs, and then ancillary another 5,000 or 10,000 jobs that go along with Toyota being here. And they're not going to commit and spend that kind of money, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, if they don't feel Texas is committed to business-friendly climate over the long haul. And I think that's exactly what Prop 4 does, is reinforces the sentiments that we are really serious about this for decades, not just years.
State Senator Pat Fallon is a Republican from Prosper. He sponsored House Joint Resolution 38 in the Senate, which put the Prop 4 question on the ballot in Texas. That would prohibit a state income tax. When we come back from the break, we hear from our panel of experts about the background and implications of a state income tax. And our phone line is open. Call in 800-622-8977 or email us at townhall@tpr.org. What questions do you have? How are you voting and why? This is a Town Hall meeting on Public Radio. Stay tuned. This is a public radio town hall meeting, Texas Prop 4 and the personal income tax question, a live call-in special from the Collaborative of Public Radio Stations in Texas. I'm David Martin Davies. To help us understand Prop 4, what voters are deciding on, and the implications, we have Dick Levine, Senior Fiscal Analyst for the Center for Public Policy Priorities. Dick Levine, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
And also with us, Mike Garcia, Director of the Legislative Affairs for the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Mike Garcia, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Call in with your questions and comments about Prop 4 and the state income tax question. The number is 1-800-622-8977. You can email us at townhall@tpr.org and tweet at us at TPR News. So Dick Levine, we heard from two Republican lawmakers who were very much so in support of Proposition 4. I want to give you a chance to answer back, respond.
Well, you know, we've been saying that Prop 4 is unnecessary, it's unwise, and it's unfair. So let's just start with unnecessary. They laid out, at least in raw form, the current situation, which is the Texas Constitution will not allow a state income tax to take effect without a vote of the people. Nobody's going to try to sneak an income tax past the voters. It's there. And in addition, if there is an income tax approved by the voters, 2/3 of the money will go to cut school property taxes, and the other 1/3 would go to fund education. And the legislature can't raise the income tax after its initial passage without an additional vote of the people. So there are many, many layers of protection in the state constitution already. Guaranteeing that the voters will have control over an income tax. But we don't know what the future will bring. Things change. And there's no reason now to decide to make it harder for people 20 or 30 or 40 years from now if they decide, and we can talk about it later, why they might even want an income tax to replace their property taxes and fund education.
All right, Mike Garcia with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Tell me what your thoughts are.
Sure. Well, you know, I think Senator Fallon kind of hit on it a little bit in the earlier segment. You know, we want to signal to the business community that we're going to keep the tax burden low in the state of Texas. You know, during the Great Recession, Texas outperformed many states, I think majority of the states, and the federal government itself in economic growth. And I think a lot of that was due in large part to the income tax. And, you know, there is this idea that a lot of people thought, myself included, I'm a little bit embarrassed to say, that it was already banned in the Constitution. Well, it wasn't. And without getting too much into the details of legislative procedure, which is what I'm an expert at, you know, you can actually sneak an income tax through the Texas House, for example, with as little as 51 votes. And we're talking about only 150 members in the House. So, and I can expand on that if you'd like me to, but this amendment would require a bare minimum of 100 votes to repeal the ban, if you will.
All right. Yeah, that's something we're going to be digging into, the situation that exists today, if that is as weak as you and others are trying to make it seem, because not only does it have to pass the House, but also the Senate, and then the governor could veto that. So that's quite a hurdle, and then you have to pass the majority of Texans. So that's not nothing, Mike Garcia.
I would like to chime in on that. I don't believe it's necessary for the governor to weigh in on a constitutional amendment.
But he could veto.
Now the situation now is for an income tax to pass requires a majority in both the House and Senate, and a majority in the House is 76 votes. Then signature by the governor, then it goes to the voters for approval. If Prop 4 were to pass, the representative and the senator were correct. It would require a 2/3 vote of each the House and the Senate. The governor would have no role whatsoever. It would go straight on the ballot for the voters to decide.
All right. Let's go to a voicemail we have. This is from Stacy.
Hi, this is Stacy. And I think that we in Texas should have an income tax only if it will allow us to reduce property taxes and sales tax, thereby spreading the tax burden over the broader population versus pinning the whole tax burden just on those who wish to own homes.
And let me go to Dick Levine on that. Right now, there are also limits under the Bullock Amendment that if there is a income tax passed, that it would have to be used to lower property taxes and support education, right?
That's right. Two-thirds of the revenue from an income tax would have to go to cut your school property taxes, and the other third would be dedicated to education. And I think Stacy pointed out one of the things that happens when you have an unbalanced tax system like Texas does, because we don't have an income tax, we have very high sales tax and very high property tax. And you can see that across the country. Those states that don't have income taxes have to raise the money for their schools and their roads someplace, and so it pushes hard on sales and property tax. If you have three taxes, you can balance the advantages and disadvantages of each tax. But, you know, we're not even talking about whether we need an income tax now or if you want an income tax now. We're just trying to talk about Prop 4, whether we want to make it harder for future Texans to make that decision.
And your response to that, Mike Garcia from the Texas Public Policy Foundation?
Sure. Well, you know, we're of the belief that an income tax would greatly disincentivize people to move to Texas. It would disincentivize savings. It would disincentivize a whole, people investing in businesses and the economy. You know, we're actually for going the opposite way and moving to a pure sales tax system, gradually eliminating the property tax over time by using surplus revenue. And, you know, we think that would actually help people, not just homeowners, but, you know, as you know, apartment complex owners would eventually have to reduce their rent as well, because, you know, they pay property taxes, and people who rent apartments pay property taxes through their rent. And you know, we have a lot of data on how that would work. Of course, it would be difficult to explain it in 2 minutes, but that's our response there.
All right. Well, let me go to the phone lines. This is the number to call in is 1-800-622-8977 to join our town hall meeting on Prop 4, the question about a personal income tax in Texas. Let's go to Earl on the phones. And Earl, welcome to our town hall meeting. Go ahead.
Yes. My question is regarding one of the bases I wanted to vote on is if we did a vote down Prop 4, and in the future we could do an income tax prop. My thing is, how would the low-income families that get state subsidies, food subsidies, be taxed, and how would their income be affected? And the reason I'm asking this question now is because if I do vote, the future generations in my field, we deal with a lot of low-income families. How would they might be affected if an income tax did come into play?
All right. Thank you for that call, Earl. Mike Garcia, you with the Texas Public Policy Foundation, you seem to be in favor of raising the sales tax, right? And that's something that people have said is regressive, and it hurts the low income pretty hard. So how would is that a concern? What our caller Earl brings up?
Of course. Well, so first of all, you know, I'd hope a future legislature, if they did implement an income tax, would think about people with lower economic stature and adjust accordingly, right? But as far as a property tax being more aggressive than a sales tax, the comptroller recently gave a report that suggested that property taxes were less regressive, and without getting into too much detail, they scored sales taxes to be a negative 0.0226 on their scale, while school districts' property taxes were estimated to be negative 0.99. And the larger negative number meant that it was a more aggressive tax. However, I think that analysis doesn't factor in the fact that a sales tax is only implemented one time, right? You go in and you buy the item that you're wanting to buy, and you pay that tax one time. With property taxes, you're paying that multiple times through multiple years, and not only are you paying it over and over, but the rate is usually raised from year to year. So, you know, we're not entirely sure if a sales tax is in fact more regressive than a property tax.
Well, when you go to the store and you buy that roll of toilet paper, it's not an infinite roll of toilet paper. I got to go back every week and buy another roll. So I'm continuing to pay that. So Dick Levine, I'd like to hear from you from the Center for Public Policy Priorities.
Well, the first question was, when you're designing an income tax, what effect will it have on low-income people? And of course, you can design it any way you want. You can have So there's a tax starting from your very first dollar of income, or you can give people, say, $20,000 or $30,000 without paying income tax so that everybody can support their family. But talking about the sales tax, the reason why any economist, including the controller, would say it's regressive is it's clear that low and moderate income families spend everything that they have just to keep their families going, whereas upper income families can put aside money for savings and investment, or some of the things they spend their money on, services like lawyers and accountants and stockbrokers and real estate agents, aren't taxed at all. The thing about an income tax is it's not the solution, it's not a silver bullet, but if you have three major taxes, sales and property and income, you can start balancing the advantages and disadvantages of one against the other. But to repeat, we're not voting this starting today with early voting on whether or not to have an income tax. We're just voting on how hard is it going to be if people in the future decide they'd like to try an income tax and use it to cut their property taxes and use it to fund education.
So, Dick Levine, in about a minute, can you tell me who do you think would benefit from banning a personal income tax?
I would think that the people who would win if Prop 4 passes are the people who are winning under the current system. The people who pay a smaller percentage of their income in taxes because they can, as I said, support their families with their income and have money left over that's not taxed, or spend it on lawyers and accountants and stockbrokers, services that aren't taxed. We have a tax system that's very much out of date. It needs to be brought into the 21st century to reflect that we now have a service economy.
Okay, so I got to give Mike Garcia a chance to respond. So Mike Garcia, you have about a minute to respond.
Sure. Well, you know, I think everybody would benefit from not having to pay an income tax. I think the big problem, as I said earlier, in Texas, is the very high property tax levels we have, which were reduced, or at least the rate at which they raised were reduced this past session. But you know, you look at areas like East Austin, you look at some areas of Dallas where poorer folks are getting taxed out of their homes. I know some of these people personally, and I don't disagree with Dick that we need to reform our tax system. I just think we see things a little bit differently.
So, Mike, if you could tell me a little bit more. I mean, as Dick said, that the current system benefits the high income, and is that why there is such this hard push to prevent ever having an income tax in Texas to help the high income?
I don't think so. That wasn't part of the conversation when the original amendment was passed in 1993, and that wasn't part of the conversation when it passed. When it passed the legislature this past time around, I think the legislature is thinking of people as a whole, as Texans as a whole, when it comes to the income tax. Of course, when it comes to the property tax, you do hear more about people who are benefited versus people who are hurt.
Right. But just because it's not part of the general conversation doesn't mean it's not something that we can look at the data and understand how it would actually impact the population, right?
Sure. I mean, I don't see how it would help poorer individuals from paying an income tax.
Right. And it would certainly help a high income if they don't have to pay a graduated income tax. All right. So we're going to take a break and we're going to continue the conversation talking about Prop 4 and the personal income tax question. Early voting is now underway in Texas. And this is a town hall meeting on a public radio station cooperative. The number to call in is 800-622-8977, 800-622-8977. The public radio town hall continues after this. Welcome back to this public radio town hall on Proposition 4, personal income tax question. I'm David Martin Davies, and this is part of the Texas Collaborative of Public Radio Stations. Now we're bringing into the conversation Janelle Kaminga. She is a policy analyst for the Tax Foundation in Washington, D.C. And Janelle, welcome to our town hall.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So my first question, it's kind of a nitpicky, silly question. So I see this, the number jumps back and forth. I see Texas is one of 7 states. Texas is one of 9 states. And that's because New Hampshire and Tennessee are doing something kind of weird. So which one's right?
It depends how you want to define it. But yeah, usually when we list them, we say it's one of 7 states that have no income tax, because New Hampshire and Tennessee, they currently only tax, I believe it's dividends on income right now. So it's not quite the same thing, and it's a lot lower of a tax. And Tennessee is actually phasing that one out, so it should be out by 2022, I believe. But yeah.
So it shows you that there is no one-size-fits-all for states. Every state can figure out this thing on their own, right?
Yeah, yeah, and they tend to do so, yes.
So looking at it from the Tax Foundation and comparing states' plans, what do you see as the tax burden looking like in Texas, since we do not have a personal income tax?
Yeah, so because you have no income tax, you tend to rely a lot on sales and property taxes, as has been mentioned before tonight. But when it comes to sales taxes, they account for about 35.4% of state and local tax collections. Countywide, that's sales taxes. Countywide or countrywide, that's usually about 23.6%. So you are higher than the country average. When it comes to property taxes, you're at 31.5%. No, sorry, at property taxes, you're at 43.8%, and across the country, it's an average of 31.5%, so you are higher there as well. But it's important to remember that even with the increased weight on those non-income taxes, the state and local tax collections in Texas only make up about 8.7% of personal income, and that's the 11th lowest of all 50 states. So even though your taxes are more obvious, and yes, they can be painful, they are lower than in a lot of states.
What about, because this, we had this question last segment, and we'll get back to it, but having such a reliance on sales tax and then also on property tax, does that burden certain populations more than others?
There is some of that involved, but I believe it was mentioned before that with the sales tax, a lot of the problem that we're seeing is that the economy has shifted more towards services, but most sales taxes are still aimed at goods. And a lot of higher-income people tend to spend more on services than they do on goods. So the real answer may be just to expand the sales tax to services and then lower the rate so that it's easier for people across the board to pay.
But so you're saying, as it exists today as a consumption tax, the low income is paying a higher percentage of their income on sales tax than a high-income individual?
Generally, yes.
All right. Let me get the callers in on this conversation. Let's go to Lily in San Antonio. Hi, Lily. Welcome to our town hall.
You called me Lily?
Yes. Hi, Lily.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes. I think this is a major decision, and I had not heard of it until I heard your promos on the radio, and I don't think it should be decided on an off year for, you know, only very low population, low people are going to show up and vote, very specific people. This should put on a constitution for altogether. I believe in taxes. I think it's a sign of civilization, a sign of doing, you know, proper thing for the society.
Right. Lily, thank you for your call. I want to go to our panelists for that. So Dick Levine, a senior fiscal analyst with the Center for Public Policy Priorities, low voter turnout on these constitutional amendments. I mean, we're talking like 5% or even lower. What do you think of that percentage of the population making such a big decision?
Well, Lily is right, and I'm very excited that she was able to listen to your show and learn about this. This is an off-year election. Very few people vote, and that's why it's so important that people understand that we're not voting on whether or not to have an income tax. We're voting on whether or not to maintain the current rule, which guarantees voter approval before there's any income tax, and guarantees that most of the money from an income tax would go to cut your school property taxes, and the rest would be dedicated to education. Prop 4 would repeal all those guarantees and just set it to the legislature to amend the Constitution again if in the future we decide, you know, we're tired of high sales tax, we're tired of high property tax, we need money for our schools, we need money for our roads, and decide to go ahead with it. But long ago in 2019, people thought they knew better than we do and decided to make it hard on us.
All right, Mike Garcia, Director of Legislative Affairs for the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Low voter turnout. I'm sure you do encourage folks to get out and have their voice heard.
Absolutely, and it's a good point. And you know, that is, it's just one of the ways that our system works, and maybe that's something we need to take a look at as Texans. But you know, the way it's set up, most of the time we vote on these constitutional amendments during odd number of years, because those are the years that the legislature meets and passes these constitutional amendments to the voters. So you know, it's a really good point.
Right, but it's not part of some nefarious plan to sneak something through pass anyway. This is the way we do things, and it just worked out that way, right?
I would agree with that, yes.
Okay, and Janelle Kaminga with the Tax Foundation in Washington, D.C., is this typically how many states operate? Do they have like propositions banning things like this, taxes? Is this unusual?
Not that I'm aware of, sorry.
So this would be kind of an oddity?
No, I mean, it's not an oddity. No, states do have a number of constitutional amendments dealing with taxes, depending on the state, depending on what their priorities are.
Okay. One thing we got this fundraising email from Governor Greg Abbott today saying the stakes are high. Republicans have a thin majority in the Texas House of Representatives, and putting proposition on the ballot passed by only one vote during the recent legislative session. With the rise of socialism creeping into the mainstream of the Democratic Party, we want to make sure that the Democrats never have a state income tax in their tool belt. So that sounds to me like Greg Abbott is saying this is an insurance. So when the Democrats flip Texas blue, that would be very hard for them to get a personal income tax through. Am I reading this wrong, Mike Garcia?
Well, I think it's important. Well, look, first of all, this is why I'm not into campaigns. I like looking at data and arguments and not hyperbole. But you know, I want to say that I think it's important to note that this amendment passed under a majority Democrat House. I'm more of an expert in the House. I'm not sure what the Senate looked like in 1993, but you know, I think we even had a Democratic governor at that point. So unless Bush was already in, now, I was only 5 years old, so please excuse me.
Bob Bullock was a lieutenant governor, at least.
Exactly, and he was a Democrat and a very good one. So you know, perhaps Governor Abbott's right, but I think this just has more to do with actually imposing what a lot of people already think is the case, and that is the fact that they think that the income tax is already banned constitutionally in Texas.
And Dick Levine, what do you think is there partisan politics involved here?
Well, you know, we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, so we stay away from that. We try to just look for what's best for the future of Texas. You know, there was some talk very early about the business climate. We haven't really had a chance to discuss that. You know, in the past, Texas was known because we had cotton, cattle, and crude, the three C's. Well, obviously, that worked well for us 50 and 100 years ago, but things are changing fast. We talked about the sales tax not keeping up with the changes in the economy. It used to be you needed a lot of property to have a factory to build things. Now Google can make a ton of money just out of an office building. So things keep changing, and we have to be flexible and think about the future. You know, in fact, businesses in Texas pay a higher percentage of state and local taxes than businesses in most other states. So it could be in the future businesses will decide the best thing for a business climate is to use an income tax to help cut sales and property taxes. We don't know. That's the point. There's no reason to think that we should lock in now for the future when we don't know what the future will bring.
All right, Rebecca on the phones. Rebecca from Austin. Hey, Rebecca, you're on the air in our town hall. Go ahead.
Great. Hi, this is Rebecca from Austin, Texas. I'm against having a sales tax, and I'm for having luxury taxes. I'm from Florida, where income tax is not a thing there either, and still in Florida, there are so many hurricanes that windstorm insurance is required, and that's like a bill of many hundreds of dollars per month for households. And even in that condition, they have much lower property taxes in Florida, and still they have also cheaper and better education and better roads. So I'm kind of flummoxed about why we have such high property taxes here and don't have the same outcomes in Florida. And neither state has
an income tax. Rebecca, thank you for that. Let me go to Janelle Kaminga with the Tax Foundation. Real quick, 30 seconds.
Well, every state is different, and every state's business climate, like we were just talking about, is different. And Florida is able to rely on their sales tax for a lot because they have such a thriving tourism industry. I mean, they have Disney, and that's a big deal over there. But Texas doesn't quite have the same thing, and so they have to have their taxes structured differently to bring in the right amount of revenue for them.
All right, we're going to take a break. Our number is 1-800-622-8977. Our public radio town hall on Prop 4 will continue, and we'll be right back.
My name is Victor. I am definitely not going to vote for us to have sales tax in Texas because we have a low cost of living and low income. And because of low income, I think we've already lost enough.
This is a public radio town hall meeting, Texas Prop 4 and the personal income tax question. I'm David Martin Davies. This is a call-in special from the Collaborative of Public Radio Stations in Texas. Let's go to another caller. This is Randall from Dallas. Randall, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just calling in about the fact that I was disappointed when we instituted the actual lottery instead of a state income tax. I felt that the state income tax at the time would have been more appropriate and it would have hit the general population much more evenly. And I do believe that right now the legislation is trying to do an end run around future legislation because they're afraid of a more liberal House and Senate. And so they're But that's my take on that.
Well, Randall, thank you for calling in and giving us your take. There has been public polling about what support for an income tax in Texas is, and it's not good. It's about 70% of Texans are opposed to having an income tax. So Mike Garcia, with the Director of Legislative Affairs for the Texas Public Policy Foundation, there is not this groundswell of support for having an income tax in the state.
Sure. You know, there isn't, and I don't think there was in 1993 either. Just like Dick said earlier, Texas Public Policy Foundation is a 501c3 nonpartisan organization. We work with everybody. So, it's not my place to opine on whether Republicans think Democrats are going to take over or Democrats think they're going to take over. Again, I just want to bring this back to how Texas performed during the Great Recession and the fact that, you know, a lot of people from California and New York move to Texas on a daily basis, and that's still going on. I think they're voting with their feet, and I think a big reason why they're coming here is because we don't have an income tax.
Well, there are a lot of reasons why Texas performed so well during the Great Recession, and some people say it had to do with some of the regulations that we had in place for what you could do with your property as far as borrowing against it, and those safeguards were removed not that long ago in a different state proposition. Dick Levine, can you kind of respond to that?
Well, yes, that year, what you just said is my understanding about why Texas didn't suffer from a housing bubble is because we had protection so people couldn't borrow more than their house was worth. But, you know, there's one thing we haven't talked about, which is what might happen if Prop 4 were to pass and some business were to challenge their franchise tax, because the usual wording is, if you don't want to have a tax on people, you call them natural persons. But Prop 4 doesn't talk about that. It talks about individuals. And if you remember the U.S. Supreme Court case, we talked about corporations as people. Individual can be read to mean corporations and other businesses too. And it's a little risky. If you pass Prop 4, somebody, the business, takes it to court and says, it says no tax on individuals, and my business is, I have an individual business. And that would really cut the props from under how we support education. That's where the franchise tax goes.
Okay, let me get Mike Garcia to respond to that. Didn't they patch that up with a later vote, Mike Garcia?
I believe so. I think it was House Bill 4542 that cleared up in the tax code that the word individual does, in fact, mean a natural person and does not correspond to various business entities. But
they can always take it to court, and you never know what happens.
They can.
All right, let's go to the caller. I'm going to go to Carol from Dallas. Hey, Carol from Dallas, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. One gentleman said earlier that we were not voting on an income tax. However, the wording, at least what was in the Dallas Morning News, defies that. It starts out with the word prohibit. And that, coupled with the fact that this is an off-election year, really concerns me as a citizen and as a senior. And I'll let you respond to that.
All right. So the wording, as I have it in front of me, the constitutional amendment prohibiting the imposition of an individual income tax, including a tax on an individual's share of partnership and unincorporated association income. That's a mouthful, and that's why we're hearing from some folks that it's confusing. Mike Garcia from the Texas Public Policy Foundation, is it confusing?
Well, that's hard for me to say since I live in this world. So, I can tell you one thing. It's not as confusing as some of the local ordinances that folks are going to be voting on this upcoming election season. I think it's important voters to just go into the booth and read the language, think about what it means. It does, in fact, prohibit an individual income tax from being passed, but it doesn't repeal anything that's already in place. And perhaps it would be good for voters to have that context on the ballot.
All right, so break it down really simple. Dick Levine, what are people voting on?
People are voting on whether in the future it's going to be harder to have an income tax if that's what Texans want 20 or 30 or 40 years from now. Whichever way Prop 4 goes, yes or no, there can't be an income tax without approval by the voters. That's not going to change in any case. That's why I say we're not voting on an income tax. We're just voting on whether we're going to make it harder for future Texans to make their own decision.
Janelle Kaminga with the Tax Foundation in Washington. Other states have passed income taxes. Does Texas have some sort of strange, they just hate income tax more than other states? Or how do they do it?
I mean, I think they think of it as one of the key features of their tax code, and that's what they're proud of. And so it makes sense that they would want to reinforce that. And I'd also like to get in one comment here. There's been some talk about keeping the income tax on the table so that maybe we could bring down property taxes. And we don't necessarily have to just wonder what would happen if we left it on the table, because some states have tried it. For example, if we look at New Jersey and Connecticut, they were both really late in the game for income taxes. They instituted them with the goal of bringing down property taxes, but New Jersey still has the highest property taxes in the country. Connecticut is also number 5 on property taxes, and they both see some pretty high income taxes. So just because you leave the option on the table doesn't mean it's necessarily going to solve your property tax problems. So I wanted to keep that in mind here.
And thank you for that. Let's go to another caller, Kashif from Allen, Texas. Let me click the button. And Kashif, you're on our public radio town hall.
Yes, hi. I had a question and a comment. So first of all, I just heard Dick Levine also mention that if this passes, it's going to make it difficult to impose a property tax. I'm trying to figure out what does difficult mean. What's the process going to be like eventually if this passes? And my comment is, from both sides I hear that this is not passing, or This is not going to institute a property tax. It's not something that's going to have a short-term effect. And I'm looking at my legislatures and I'm wondering, do they not have any pressing issues to solve for today rather than look at something that might happen 25, 30 years from now? Like, seriously, there has to be some other problems in Texas that they can figure out and solve for rather than waste time on this.
All right. Thank you for that comment. So let's go first to Dick Levine.
Well, under the current constitutional provision, the Bullock Amendment, we keep talking about, to have an income tax, you'd need a bill pass the legislature, the governor would have to sign it, and the voters would have to approve it in a statewide referendum. If Prop 4 were to pass, it would require a two-thirds vote of the legislature, not just a simple majority. You need to pass a bill. The governor wouldn't have any role at all, and again, it would go to the voters. So all that would really change is the number of votes in the legislature, and that's why we're saying it's unnecessary. We already know that the voters have the final say over an income tax.
And Mike Garcia with the Texas Public Policy Foundation, is this a pressing issue in your mind?
That's really for the legislature to decide. I mean, I would like to add to that that there were a lot of big ticket items that the legislature did pass through this session. Senate Bill 2, for the first time in 40 years, lowered what we call the rollback rate, which is the rate at which your property taxes can be raised from 1 year to the next. For 40 years, it stood at 8%. Now it's at 3.5%. So the ledge really is hoping that helps a little bit on the property tax relief side. And then there was House Bill 3 that completely reorganized the education funding system in Texas. And, you know, we're still waiting to see how that's going to work out, too. But they spent a lot of time on other pressing issues. I don't think they have to be mutually exclusive.
They also wanted to have a tax swap, which would raise sales tax to pay off property taxes, which I think you mentioned earlier that you were in support of, right?
Yes, I think that was House Bill 297. It passed through the House. I don't think they spent that much time on it, surprisingly. It was kind of a shock to us, probably a little bit under an hour. And then it didn't. I don't think it got a hearing in the Senate.
Right. So, Dick Levine, does that tell you something about where, if the current trend continues, what our leaders in Texas want?
Well, I think what they were proposing last session was to raise the sales tax rate, which is now a total of 8.25% in most parts of the state, up to 9.25% to help pay for some of the property tax cuts they passed in the school finance bill. I don't know what they're going to do next session because they don't have enough money to pay for the school finance reforms. We are really running out of options. We're pushing the sales tax as high as California's. We have property taxes that are getting up near New Jersey's. We're running out of options. We need to think about restructuring our tax system, maybe starting with expanding the sales tax to professional and business services.
Right. And last word for Janelle Cominga with the Tax Foundation in Washington. You say it's better to have a wider base. You have about 10 seconds here, but multiple areas to tax from is a healthy solution, right?
Yeah, a broad base and low rates is always what you want to go, and especially with a sales tax, the fewer exemptions you have, the more services that you can include without getting business-to-business services in there. That's really how you want to structure your sales tax.
All right, early voting has begun on the 10 propositions that are before voters. Prop 4 would prohibit the Texas legislature from establishing a personal state income tax, but it does not bring in a personal income tax. Dick Levine, Mike Garcia, Janelle Cominga, thank you so much. This is a public radio town hall meeting on Prop 4. Thanks for tuning us in.
This special statewide call-in program was produced by David Martin Davies, Jan Ross Piedad, Dallas Williams, Dan Katz, and Kim Johnson. Production support from Wayne Coble, Ruben Garcia, and Bree Kirkham. The program came to you from Texas Public Radio, which is part of the Texas Newsroom, a collaboration among NPR and public radio stations across the state, including TPR, KERA, North Texas, Houston Public Media, and